Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, angels. Each one had 6 wings, with 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In this month of October, you'll be seeing a lot of ads for new horror movies that are coming out, and maybe on television reruns of previous horror movies from years ago. It always strikes me the dramatic improvement, you might say, in special effects when I look at movies that were made back in the 40s or the 50s compared to today. It's interesting how Hollywood will often try to depict a very supernatural event or something that's just so out of this world. The scene before us that I just read from the book of the prophet Isaiah is one that is full of amazing glory, something that's hard for us to even envision. That God permits the prophet to get a glimpse of him on his throne in glory with the angels flying around. It must have been quite a scene, something that Hollywood would have a very difficult time trying to depict. And Isaiah, this prophet here, is confronted with God in all of his grandeur and all of his glory and holiness. And he senses such a difference about himself compared to God. And we see this so often in the Bible. Whenever somebody has an opportunity to get a glimpse of God and his glory, fallen man, people who have sin in them like us, have a tendency to shield themselves from God, to try to hide from God and run away. We see it right away with Adam. Adam in the Garden of Eden was perfectly willing to be in the presence of God until he fell into sin. Suddenly, when God walks through the garden, he hides. He doesn't want to have to deal with God. It's too hard to deal with the perfect holiness of God. Moses, when the Lord comes to him in the burning bush, we're told that he shielded his face. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when the disciples got to see Jesus shining in all of his glory as the true Son of God, they couldn't take it. We're told they were terrified. And the list goes on and on. It emphasizes the difference between who God is and what I'm like, who we are. We're sinful, mortal people who are not holy at all. And this great disparity, this great difference between God and us is seen so beautifully in the reaction of Isaiah when he gets this amazing vision of God in his glory. What does he do? He realizes his sin. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It's interesting how personal his reaction is. Notice that he realizes this about himself personally. He says, "Woe is me, I am undone." The word there literally means to be brought to nothing. I am lost, I am ruined is what he means. He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Sin is very personal. You, like me, you and I are the ones that have committed it. You and I are the ones that have to deal with the stinging guilt from it that goes on lingering in our consciences. You and I are the ones that can have this little deep hidden fear down inside of us because of it. Sin is very personal, and so will be someday the judgment that every person has to face. We kind of sense that all even now. There's something coming in my future where I'm going to have to stand in front of this God who knows everything about me, who knows everything I've ever done or said, and that's kind of a terrifying thought. Sin is very personal. The judgment that is coming, likewise, is very personal. Notice here, though, God's response to the prophet Isaiah. Here, this man is quivering in front of God, and he's very aware of how evil he is. Notice that, first of all, God doesn't just push Isaiah aside and say, yeah, you're not worthy of being in my presence. Notice also that he doesn't excuse him. He doesn't say, everybody's doing what you're doing, it's no big deal. Boys will be boys. He doesn't excuse his sin the way maybe we would like to see God do it someday. Wow, you lived in the 21st century. Rules were different for you. That's not how God deals with him. Instead, he does something very unique. He lets Isaiah's assessment of himself stand because it's accurate. And then he sends one of his angels to go to the altar of sacrifice, the altar that was kind of a picture of the coming great sacrifice Christ would have to give on the cross. He sends an angel to that altar of sacrifice, and the angel takes a tongs and picks up a burning coal from that sacrifice and brings it now to Isaiah, and of all the weird things, touches it to his lips. And then he says to him, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity, that means your evil, your wickedness, your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged, or cleansed. In essence, what God is doing here with the angel is he's taking something from the cross of Christ and flying it directly to Isaiah and making his forgiveness of his sin very personal. Touches his lips. Isaiah's sin was personal. The future judgment he was going to have to face was personal. And now God's grace and mercy to him is very personal. It's interesting that in the Bible, whenever somebody is struck by their sin and aware of that before God and kind of trembling before him, you'll always find that just in the next verses, God acts immediately. It's not God's desire to let you and me sit there twisting in the wind, wondering and afraid of what God thinks of us. God wants to act immediately for us through his word and through the ministry of his word. Now, right now today, you might be sitting here wrestling with a memory of something you did, maybe over the weekend, or maybe it's something that happened years ago. And maybe it's something that you've kind of laughed off and thought was no big deal, but down deep in your conscience and heart, just like this happens to me, there's that gnawing fear of this very moment Isaiah is bringing up, having to face God. Well, today, nobody else can feel that fear that you may have inside of you. It's personal. It's just yours. Nobody else is going to be able to stand in your place on Judgment Day. That is a personal event for me, for you. But God also today wants his grace and forgiveness to you to be personal. And so he has established an entire ministry on the earth of bringing what Christ has done directly to your life. He wants to deal personally with you with his grace. He wants to come right now today through your personal ears and declare to you the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins for Jesus' sake. He wants to personally touch your head with the hand of a shepherd absolving you. He wants to personally pour the water of his grace in baptism on you to know that you have been forgiven. And he wants it to be your lips and your tongue that come to receive the body and blood of his Son, which paid for your entrance into heaven. Your iniquity has been taken away, That's what I'm doing here. That's what everybody who is in the office of the public ministry is sent to do in this world, to touch your lips with the coal, to let you know that God has forgiven you your sins for Jesus' sake. It's an amazing event that's coming in the future to think what heaven is going to be like, to see Adam and Moses and the disciples and others standing there in the presence of God without their knees shaking anymore. And you and I are invited by God to join them someday in that presence through faith in Christ. And even now, God invites us to come boldly to his throne of grace. Amen. Let us rise. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the ministry that you have established by which you bring us your marvelous grace. Help us to truly trust in the work of your Son, our Savior, so that someday we can stand before you in his righteousness and be invited into the doors of heaven. We ask all of this in his saving name. Amen.